Hey guys, this is our weekly podcast by Cornerstone Church of Ione. We're so glad that you decided to join. We are a church family passionate about seeing people worship Jesus, grow in their faith, and serve those around them. If you would like to learn more about Cornerstone, please visit us at cornerstoneione.org, or you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, so now we are going to go into the text this morning. We are going to be in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to do 11 through 17. And I'm excited about this text because it talks about boasting. It talks about motive. It talks about, it kind of summarizes the whole circumcision thing. And if that doesn't count, what does count in this life, right? So here we go. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word again, as kind of the treasure chest of your word, that as we take out, as we have taken out Galatians and we begin to look at that jewel in that treasure chest, I pray that we would be transformed, that we would see what this new creation looks like, see what boasting looks like for a believer, and see how to be careful about false teachings and motives. Father, we love you. I pray that you would bless this time, you'd anoint this service, that the Holy Spirit would be working in our lives, and that we would not quench it, but we'd allow it to take full effect in our souls. We love you, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first thing I want to do is read this text, and kind of how I like to go about things is I see my job as we take a text, we're going to read it, and then we're going to look through it, study it together, and then I like to try to read it at the end again. In order to make sure that we kind of understand the totality of it. One really important thing whenever you're studying the Word of God is context, right? With that, we are in a book that is really speaking to that the gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient and complete, not adding anything to it. We have done nothing to earn it or deserve it, but that is a gift from God to people, a redemption plan back to himself, reconciling his people, and that we will be made righteous by placing our faith in Christ, not by works like circumcision. And that as Christ looks down on us, when God looks down on his people, that we, yes, have failed, but Christ has succeeded, and his work has been put on our account, imputed into our life, and we are made righteous because of his work and not ours. And there will be a day where those of us who place our faith in Jesus will be in front of him, and we'll be told, well done, good and faithful servant, not because we were perfect, but that because we lived and rested in the grace of God as we pursued the creator of the universe. With that, let's begin to read here. Galatians 6, 11 through 17. Verse 11 is very unique. Let's read that. Notice what large letters I use as I write these things, these closing words in my own handwriting. Verse 12. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so that you can boast about it and claim, and they can claim you as their disciples. As for me, I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It does not matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon us, all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Verse 11 says this. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own hand. This is like the equivalent of you sending an email and you go up to the little bar thing that lets you change things and you bold it, you underline it, you italicize it, you hit the little A that has the up arrow, you make it bigger, bigger, bigger. Pretty soon you're in size 22 instead of size 11. It's bolded, it's underlined, it's italicized. You're like, this is important. He also says that that a closing in my own handwriting. So he has a person that is writing these things for him as he is talking. And he says, give me that pen, kicks him out of the way. Maybe not kicks him out of the way. But he takes the pen. He's like, I'll finish this myself. He writes bigger than the other guy was. And he says, these things are important. It's equivalent of me in this service where I'm like, hey, if you've fallen asleep, if you've dazed off, if you've gotten distracted, if you're on Facebook, put it away and listen. This part's important. Have you ever heard me say that? It's kind of like saying this. Like, hey, he's at the end of this letter. He's like, I'm going to close it with my own handwriting. He's writing big. He's writing bold. And it's important. So we're going to like focus in and we're going to pay attention, right? Because that's what that original audience, the context would have done as well. And so then he goes on to say this. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want you to look good to others. They want to look good for others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so that they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. So there's a word used in there where it says they just want to look good to others. That word there, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly. I have phonetic here. Euprosopeho. What that means is this. To be of good countenance, to look well. The usage is like this. I look well, make a fair show, a good outward appearance, so to win good opinion. Their motive is to look good to others. Why would you want to look good to others? So that you get glory and then you can boast about what you have done. Their motives, one part of it is that they want to glorify themselves. Like if they begin, okay, well, I guess like we do need to get circumcised. It validates their standing and their theology and makes them seem right. And they want that. They want more people to become like followers of their way and to change what they know is the gospel, so then that those who practice this way are validated as more people are becoming followers and becomes bigger. Now, why would somebody want to teach that it's not by Christ's work alone that you're saved? It's because they do not want persecution. And they're trying to force you to become circumcised so that they look good. They don't want to be persecuted, is what verse 11 says. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. They are afraid of persecution. So they are changing that. So they want followers. They don't want to be like Paul, right? What does verse 17 say? From now on, don't let anybody trouble me with these things. For I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. And previously in this book, it says that like that the gospel can be offensive and that he has scars on his body because he teaches that Christ alone can save. These other people, they don't want persecution. It says it right there in verse 12, that they don't want persecution. So what do? They go up and they try to teach people that the cross of Christ is not enough, that there are other ways you can earn your salvation. Just follow the law. They won't become persecuted. They get more people on their side, converted, so they can look good, they can feel good about themselves, they can glorify themselves and say, look what I have done, I've earned salvation, I've earned right standing with God, and so can you. So they want to be able to gloat and brag about themselves. The root cause is they are afraid of the affliction of following Jesus. And so without taking too many steps down this road, I think that a lot of us can identify in the sense that there are times where maybe we are scared or have some sort of fear of the uncomfortable nature at times that our lives can be filled with as we pursue Jesus. That there might be a tendency or desire for us to sidestep some of the truth of the gospel in order to try to sidestep the direct persecution that may come our way from teaching that there is one way to heaven. There is one way for salvation. It's not Mormonism. It's not through Jehovah's Witness, not through Gandhi, it's not through reincarnation doing good, 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 and eventually something spectacular happens. You can't earn it. We're not good enough. And it relies on us needing a Savior. We need help. We couldn't do it. And that one way is through Jesus Christ on the cross. And that can be offensive. And in this culture, it's way more offensive than it is here. Nobody's going to beat me with a stick. Nobody's going to throw rocks at me. Nobody's going to hang me upside down on a cross for having this service this morning. The chances of that are very low where we live. But I do believe that does not mean we do not experience some sort of persecution in maybe a lesser degree. That still matters to God that we fight through. That it still matters that we are faithful to the gospel. That we let the gospel change people's lives. We let the power of God change people's lives. And that we do not deter from what the Bible teaches because we're afraid that something may happen to us. And right now, things are pretty comfortable. And there might be a day and age, you know, like I feel like every time there's an election, not to get political, everybody's afraid, like all of a sudden, like we're going to have to go into an underground church. And maybe there will be a time where that happens, right? We're a very young country, maybe, you know, whether it's 1 year from now or 4 years from now or 40 years from now or 400 years from now, there may be a time where we cannot have a big old church on the corner, do church in the park over there, sing songs, invite the community without severe persecution. And they were experiencing that. And Paul says in verse 17, he addresses that in the end. He's like, don't bother me with these things anymore. Like there's no more proof needed. I have scars on my body that say Jesus Christ is the way. They wanted to draw people, not because they cared about the truth and people's souls being saved, but they wanted to be able to boast about themselves and glorify themselves. And like, what would cause somebody to want to do that and deter from the gospel? And it's that they were afraid of the persecution, of the rightness, that there's one way, and it's Jesus Christ. And I do try to stay away from some current events that are going on, because what I don't want is to get distracted and have people thinking about different bills being passed right now, different laws being passed right now, and the Facebook controversies right now. What I'd like to do is I'd like to continue to instruct the heart as I instruct my own and instruct everybody else's, and hopefully that then permeates our views and how we see things in this world and that affect us. There will be some times where I probably bring up some things, but today I have fought the good fight not to do that, because there are so many things out there right now where I feel like this fear affects our lives. So I'll let your mind go down there. Hopefully right now you're already thinking of those things, right? Some of us are like, I know exactly what he's talking about, or I know this has been on my mind about, you know, this is like the wrong way. This is not the way Christians view the world and view life and view each other. So with that, their motive was fear. They were afraid of the persecution that would come if they stood up for what they believed. And simultaneously, this is not a sermon about getting signs and pickets, right? Go standing out there and yelling. That's not a sermon about that either. It's just that do not let yourself be deterred from what the Bible teaches is right and true, because that is the ultimate source of truth for followers of Jesus. So then it goes on, verse 14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the cross, my interests in this world have been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also been crucified. Let's talk about that for a second. Boasting is talking with excessive pride, self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. So the Bible talks a lot. Okay, so Jeremiah says that we do not boast in ourselves. Isaiah says we do not boast in ourselves. Psalm says we do not boast in ourselves. James speaks, we do not boast about these certain things in ourselves. Jude speaks about us not boasting in ourselves. Second Peter speaks about us not boasting in ourselves. However, it is very important that that does not mean that we do not boast about something. Okay? There's a lot of talk in the Bible about do not boasting in ourselves. And why is that? Because our natural reaction is as we cross some finish line that we're looking for our trophy, right? The Bible says we don't boast in ourselves. And after Galatians, we should all be sitting here and be like, I know exactly why. Brian, I know exactly why. And hopefully you're even frustrated as I say it again. You're like, again, here we go. It is because you have nothing to boast about as far as salvation goes, right? Because we failed and Jesus won. That's the gospel, that Jesus did it. And so there's nothing for us to boast about. We're like, well, I got out of the pew one day and I walked up forward and my knee was hurting because I was weed whacking there the other day. And, you know, there took some effort there, maybe a little pain, a little persecution for being a follower of Jesus. No, because we would argue that the reason you came up front was because God saved you in that pew before you came up front. So it is Christ that did the work in our life by his power, conformed, transformed us into this new creation. And so we have nothing to boast about. In our greatest actions on our best day are still nothing to boast about, because those pale in comparison to the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so we can sit back and be like, I have nothing to boast about, man. Jesus Christ did the work. When somebody says something to you, you're like, praise God. So we don't boast in ourselves, but it says that we can boast. Look at this. As for me, may I never boast about anything except, right? And so let's look right now about what we can boast about. Except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I know that, so some of us already know what that means. Some of us are like, what? We're boasting about the wood cross, like the tree. Like, are we boasting about the, like, what, maybe what happened on the cross? Let's check this out. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says this, let the one that boasts, boast in the Lord, right? And we're like, that's the same thing you just read, Brian. And I'm like, yes, it is. However, in 1 Corinthians 1:31, what was being quoted there was a quote from Jeremiah 9:24. You guys, Brian, please, it is in the morning. I can't follow this. It's okay, just hang in there. This is important. It says it there, it's quoting Jeremiah 9:24, and this is what 9:24 says. Listen to this. But let him who boasts, boast in this. So this is what we boast about. Buckle up. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So what's cool is that, like, we're not supposed to boast in ourselves. The Bible says that. Like, if you're like, no, I think that, you know, I'm God's creation, I should boast in myself. I'm something to be reckoned with. Okay, the Bible says that what we should do is not draw glory to ourselves, but that if somebody says something good about us, or there is something we have succeeded in, it's like, praise God that he's allowed me to do this, that he's given me the abilities to do this, that he's blessed me in this way. Praise God. We glorify God. And it says that, what do we boast about? So if we are going to boast, this is what we boast about. That he understands and knows me. We boast in that we know and understand God, and that God is the one practicing steadfast love. That's tremendous. We read that so many times in the Bible, we're like, steadfast love. Yes, God loves us. Can you imagine if your spouse had steadfast love for you, or your best friend had steadfast love for you? That would be something substantial. That'd be something that would stand out in our culture for sure, in any culture across the world. If you knew that person, it would stand out like, that spouse loves their spouse with steadfast love. Justice. There is right and wrong. CJ just posted this. If you ever wonder who runs our Facebook, it's not me. So it's not like I'm posting our sermon saying, Pastor Brian said, like, it's somebody else doing that. He posted this. Essentially, is this, that if we take revenge, it's because we don't really trust God. Because God is just. He was one that exacts justice. If we feel like we have to take revenge, if we don't trust God, it's going to take care of business. That right is right and wrong is wrong. The whole reason why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross is because he is justice. He wasn't a winking grandpa. It's like, well, just forget about the sin thing. He said, I will take care of the sin thing. So, love and justice and righteousness. Like, righteousness in the earth. The only reason there is right standing with God in this earth is because of God. He's the one that exacts and creates and redeems. That's what that's who does that, not us. So we boast in those things, in God, drawing attention and glory to him, giving him all the glory and all the credit. And it says, for these things I delight, declares the Lord. It's not only like, if you're going to boast, you can just boast in these things. He delights when we are praising God, when we're glorifying God, and we're boasting in him. So let us not think that we have to make all these self-deprecating comments all the time. Like, we are like, oh, I'm just wretched and thinner. Like, I'm terrible. Like, I can't believe God loves me. Like, oh, hey, you did a really good job. So, no, I didn't. I fail all the time. Like, we don't have to be like that. Just give all the glory to God for everything that he has given us, that he's instructed us into, that he's brought us into and empowered us to do. We can boast, but it's not ourselves. And we know why. We've been in Galatians for a year and a half. It's because Christ did the work. All glory to him. Then verse 15 through 16 says this. It basically talks about there's something that doesn't count and there's something that does count. And if you've been through Galatians with us, you're like, wake up. Like, I hope we already know the answer. Circumcision does not count. So what does count? Let's read verses 15 and 16. It doesn't matter whether you have been circumcised or not. Here's the bottom line. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It's awkward. We've actually had some in our small group say, hey, thanks to your sermon, I got to explain to my niece what circumcision was. Said, you're welcome. This conversation needed to happen, okay? So Like, none of us came in this morning thinking, like, do I have to be circumcised to be here? Am I really part of the family of God if I'm not circumcised, right? So as we look at that, that, like, external action, things you do to earn salvation, it's not like I need to clean myself up before I try to become a follower of Jesus. I need to clean myself up before I place my faith in Jesus. We're saying you won't make it. You'll never get to that point of placing your faith in Jesus because you'll always be trying to clean yourself up. And we're such failures, we'll just keep messing it up. So just come as you are and let God and the power of the Holy Spirit transform you into a new creation. So that circumcision thing, if you're trying to figure out what that means today, that's any of the things that we do that we think, well, faith and trust in Jesus and. There's no and. The salvation part happens is a gift by placing our faith in Jesus Christ and we are saved. After we are redeemed, there are actions that Christ followers are called into, but it has nothing to do with salvation. And that's very important to know which side works on. Then it goes on. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. That's why I've used the term new creation a bunch this morning. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. So what's interesting is this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone away and the new is here. There is this terminology used that when we place our faith in Jesus, we become a new creation because we have died to ourself and we live for Christ. It's like now that like our life is not determined and based on and instructed by and propelled by our desire to do what we want. We find out what's the heart of God, and you get a lot of that from the Word of God, reading the Bible. You know what God wants, likes, what He sees is good and healthy, and we then live for Christ and not ourselves. It is a new creation. We are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to a new creation. And it says they're the new people of God. Because before, right, in the Old Testament, He went to the Jews and made the Jews His people. And they were supposed to be a megaphone for the gospel. And then from there, Jesus then took the message to all the Gentiles. That's everybody else, essentially. And so the new people of God are not the Jews who are circumcised. It is anybody who places their faith in Jesus. It does not exclude the Jews. It goes beyond the Jews now. And instead of circumcision being a sign of God's people, it is their faith in Jesus Christ, the new creation, as a sign of God's new people. That's how the gospel went around the world. Go forth and spread the gospel to all the nations. Jews first, then the Gentiles. Does that make sense how that happened? They did go to the Jews first. And then it went to the Gentiles and goes around the world now. And it does not exclude the Jews in any sense, but it is the new sign of a follower of Jesus is placing our faith in Jesus Christ and being sealed by the Spirit. So then another interesting thing, this is big. This is big. How many of us at times, if not always, are looking for these things? May God's peace and mercy. Like, are we looking for that? Like, have we ever experienced, like, I'm just looking for God's peace and mercy in my life? Like, I want to experience that. And maybe our ears perk up and we're like, I could use some peace and mercy right now, Brian. I need that medicine like yesterday. Listen to this. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They're the new people of God. The new principle is this. What counts is being transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. Lastly, Paul says this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I think it's pretty neat, though. He says, from now on, don't let anybody trouble me with these things. He's like, I don't want to hear about this again. I'm not going to write another letter about this. For I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Christ. You want proof that I belong to Christ. I've been preaching that Jesus Christ is the one and only way, walking through any persecution that God has put in my life, and that I have the scars, the proof on my body that I do that. Don't let anybody tell you that I'm not all about Jesus, because the proof are the scars that are on my body from following Him. So as we wrap up, I'm going to say this. Wake up, stop texting, close Facebook, refocus, right? The bold letters comment. This passage is about people who are glorifying and boasting in themselves, willing to lead away a people with a reward of self-glorification. In the end, they want to go with the flow of the culture and avoid and step aside at the sight of any persecution into their life. Let us not boast in ourselves. Why? We know. The gospel is all about the goodness of Jesus, the perfection of Jesus, the rightness of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And Jesus, saving a helpless man, a helpless woman, a helpless child from what we deserve, and we have nothing to boast about because of the work of Christ in our life. Let us boast about Jesus instead of ourselves. Let us not stop boasting, but let us boast in Jesus Christ. So my challenge for this week, if I were to give a challenge, there's plenty of challenges. Maybe you've already adopted your own. Run with that. If you're like, wait a second, I didn't even think of a challenge yet. Take this one on. I dare you, okay? Challenge of the week. Once, just once. If you're an overachiever, you like the extra credit, do it more. But just once, boast in Jesus intentionally. Right? Take a moment. When you find yourself in that opportunity, maybe like it'll come to your mind, you're like, wait, this is that time where I can boast in Jesus. Just do it. And even if it's awkward, you're like, I mean, what's the word? You say more awkward things accidentally. So don't worry about this one being awkward. Just take the opportunity. And then what I'd love to do is hear, get an email or a text or find me in person or a Facebook message and just not boasting yourself, praising God that He gave you the courage to then boast about Him and that glory was given to God. You're not boasting yourself. Just send me an email. Let me know how that went. What happened is I'd love to start hearing about the way we're boasting in Christ and giving Christ the credit and glorifying God in these things. So there's a challenge. And if you accidentally heard that, I'm double daring you to do it. Okay? Now I'll do it too.
Jesus gave me another birthday. I'm boasting.
There it is. See, He found me. He took one of the options and found me to say that. That's Mike, by the way. All right. My challenge for you is to boast in Jesus this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for even the living another day that You have allowed us to take another breath and we're here, as Mike was saying. God, I pray that You would be glorified in all things, that when it comes to our lives, we would not be focusing on glorifying ourselves, that as persecution comes into our life, that we would not step aside in the effort to avoid being uncomfortable, that You have done much more and deserve much more from us than that. And I pray that we could glorify You in those steps as well. God, we thank You for the gospel and that You have stepped in when we have failed and that You have redeemed Your people when there's no chance of us being able to do it ourselves. You are so good and You are so powerful. You are so sovereign. You are so omniscient. And You allow us to be in relationship with You. God, I pray that we would savor that, that would encourage us through this week, that it would give us a fire underneath us to then go into this world and live for You and glorify You. God, I pray that as we sing these last songs, that You be glorified in the words and the condition of our heart. And that as we take the offering now, that we would be joyful givers. That even if it's hard to give at times, that we would do it joyfully, knowing that great things are happening around the world because of what You have allowed us to participate in. There is nothing for Cornerstone to boast in except for You, allowing us to step into these people's lives and to make much of You. And I pray that You continue to empower Cornerstone, the congregants, the people, the leaders, to continue to serve You in the ways that we have and in even new ways. God, guide this. We accept You and submit to You as the leader and head of this church. We love You, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Cornerstone Church of Ione. We hope that you found it encouraging and challenging. Please feel free to share this podcast with friends and family, and we will see you all next week.